I thought I would talk about today about some basic things about the Sabbath. Now, people who keep the Sabbath, of course, should be very careful about what we don't do on the Sabbath. If you notice, I am not at work today. Well, in a sense, I am as a minister. That's okay. But we are not out doing our jobs around town. We are careful about what we don't do on the Sabbath. But sometimes we're not so careful about what we should be doing on the Sabbath. We don't think about that quite as much. How much thought do you give to what you should do on the Sabbath? You know, the Sabbath is not a commandment of prohibitions. We'll get to that in just a moment. There's some there, but we'll see what it really is. Sometimes it's good to have a review of this, of a basic doctrine, and then get into some depth about the details of it. And people can sometimes get a bit off track at some of the details of the basics, which leads to struggling with difficult questions that if they really had a better foundation, they would be able to answer quite easily. So, we know that we are not to do our weekly work. We don't do our commercial activity on the Sabbath. We know because that is sin. It's transgression of the commandment. And it's important to remember that. And today we'll look carefully at why it's a sin. Why is it a sin to work on the Sabbath? What is it about working on the Sabbath that makes it a sin? You might be surprised that some people would have difficulty understanding that, giving a good answer to that question. On the other hand, sometimes we might focus so much on what not to do on the Sabbath, we forget to do what we are supposed to be doing on the Sabbath. So today we'll see that if we do what we are supposed to do on the Sabbath, it helps a lot in what we are not supposed to do on the Sabbath. First, some basics on this subject. One time I was, scanning through the internet and sort of looking at what people say about Sabbath matters, and somebody called the Sabbath the 10 no's. The 10 no's. You shall not. 10 times. I sure wish that person would go and read Exodus chapter 20, because, that's not the way it is. The 10 commandments have proscriptive commandments, like thou shalt not kill. That's proscriptive. You may not go kill people. You shall not go commit adultery and so forth. But it also has prescriptive commandments, commandments that tell us things that we are to do. Sometimes we don't necessarily think of it that way. For instance, what's a prescriptive commandment? Honor your father and mother. That tells you something to do. Now, we know it's wrong to dishonor your parents, but it is stated prescriptively in the commandments. How about the first commandments? The eternal is your God, and then no other gods beside him. The eternal only is your God. There is a proscription, but it is stated prescriptively. How about the fourth commandment? The fourth commandment. That's a proscription for you. Thou shalt not work on the Sabbath. No. That's not what it says. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. That is prescriptive. It tells us something that we do on the Sabbath. So there are four parts to the Sabbath commandment. There's what we are supposed to do. Well, the first part is remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. When we're supposed to do it, 6 days shall you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. And how we're supposed to do it, in it you shall do no work, your son, your daughter, your manservant, your maidservant, or your cattle, or the strangers that are within your gate. Within your gates and your control, things are at rest there. And why? Well, for in 6 days the Eternal made the heavens and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. And then in the seventh day he rested and hallowed it, made it holy. It begins and ends with the holiness, the set-apart nature, the sanctity of the Sabbath. I want to talk about that just a little bit. You want to turn briefly to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 12. In Deuteronomy, the first few verses of the book of Deuteronomy tell us that this was a restatement of the law that was given orally by Moses. So there may be slight differences in how it was recorded here. And on the Sabbath commandment, It's interesting how he put it. He emphasized something. Observe the Sabbath day to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you. There it is, this direct instruction saying that the commandment is to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Dr. Meredith mentioned holiness of the Sabbath in his booklet. You can go back and read and review that, but I'd like to just go back briefly and go through this booklet. I've printed out portions of which day is the Christian Sabbath. 50 years ago, I read this book right around 50 years ago. And boy, what an impact it was that he told me that I had been profaning God's holy time my whole life. And I decided with some difficulty to repent of doing that. But I'd like to just read some excerpts. I don't want you to think it's something that we recently ginned up. I'll read some excerpts from this here, of which day is the Christian Sabbath. I've just printed out a few pages. Why did he rest? He put his divine presence in that day. He made Sabbath the day of resting, whereas he had made all other things by working. Notice further, he blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. What does sanctified mean? Look it up in your dictionary. It means set apart for holy use or purpose. Just reading down. Whenever that time comes to us, we are in holy time. It is God's time, not ours. God made it holy, and in the Ten Commandments, as we shall see in detail a little later, he commanded us to keep it holy. Many do not realize today that it is a sin to profane that which is holy to God. He gives us certain things to keep holy, and to not do so is sin. Just a few more here I've highlighted. We honor God by keeping holy those things that he has made holy. Going on, quit profaning my holy things, whether it be my name, my tithe, by the way, which is holy, or your tithe of your income, or my holy day. Here. The sin is in profaning that which God made holy. That's why it's a sin to work on the Sabbath. You're profaning something that God made holy. And the church has taught this for generations. Going on, a little farther over, remember more closely now the Sabbath command. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. There he is stating what the Sabbath command is. Christ commanded, remember the Sabbath day, so pretenders forget it. But notice the rest of that same sentence, to keep it holy. I mean, he really hammered on this subject. This is page after page. He repeats this and repeats this for emphasis. Going forward, the same law also says, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. The Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Whoever disobeys that command commits sin. I don't want to keep us here all day, but maybe I'll do one more here. Well, if you have begun to keep God's Sabbath day, to keep God's Sabbath holy as he commands, in other words, this is a very definite teaching of the church. It has been for the entire time that I have been in it, and it happens to be absolutely correct. Let me read you the official statement of fundamental beliefs from the church regarding here God's Sabbath. I've reprinted here in my notes. This is available online, by the way. The Word of God commands us, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, and reveals that the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. It is to be kept holy from sunset Friday to sunset Saturday by ceasing our labors. To profane God's holy time is sin. Where did we get that idea? Well, here it is. It is God's sign between him and his faithful people, picturing God's rest and reminding us that he is creator. It also pictures the millennium, the coming thousand-year rest when Christ returns as King of Kings. Jesus Christ, the apostles, and the early church always observed God's commanded Sabbath, and it will be observed by all flesh during Christ's coming millennial rule over the earth. Just as a little aside, I went online and among the larger fellowships of the Church of God that are spread around, The ones here, three, that actually publish their statement of beliefs. And all three, among them, not a single one mentions that the commandment is to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Not a single one says that, although it says so many times in the church's earlier literature. Not a single one mentions the word holy or holiness or the sanctity of the Sabbath. Not a single one. Not a word about it in their doctrinal statements. There are differences. And I worry, one of the reasons I'm giving this is I kind of worry that this understanding can be lost. We have to be careful that important understanding can be lost. The Sabbath is set apart by God for a divine purpose. That's what he does, and therefore made it holy. So the spirit of the Sabbath commandments is in its holiness. Have you thought about that? The spirit of it is not in how much we can exclude from it, although, you know, we want to be careful not to engage in our work and so forth. But because the commandment is remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, then somehow the spirit of it is in that commandment. God's spiritual law arises from his character, and God is love. So the spirit of the law reflects his character. If you want to find out, well, what is the spirit of this law, maybe the spirit of the statute, then look at it and say, well, how does this reflect God's character? And that will tell you, you can be guided by that in the spirit of the law. So here's the point, that when someone doesn't understand, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, and if someone thinks that the spirit of the Sabbath commandment is only in its prohibitions and what we don't do, and there are people like that, then that can lead to people becoming very picky and very judgmental and missing out on what we do on the Sabbath. You know, if there are some people that do more to set the Sabbath apart than you do, you know, we don't say, oh, what a Pharisee. They're doing more than I do to set the Sabbath apart to keep it holy. Or somebody does less than you to do it. Oh, what a pagan. No, we don't judge each other in these matters as to how we fulfill it and how we add to and try to magnify it. Summarize point number one. The Sabbath command is remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. It says so in our doctrinal statement, and it says so in the church's literature going way back. And the sin is in profaning its holiness. That has always been church doctrine. Therefore, the spirit of the Sabbath command is in its holiness and in its sanctity. The Sabbath is set apart by God for a divine purpose, and we need to learn and remember that purpose and try to magnify it and grow in the purpose that he made it for. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit now. Point two will be preparation day. You know, I was speaking out in one of the churches. We're sent out in some of the area churches from time to time. I really do enjoy that and getting to see the people out there. And during the sermon, I happened to mention a little bit and comment on Preparation Day. And there was a man there who had grown up in the church. He was family man, had kids and everything. The family was there. And he had grown up in the church, and he was a kid. And he said, you know, I don't think I ever remember hearing a message on Preparation Day. Oh, my. Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about Preparation Day because it's very helpful in what it helps us to do and not do on the Sabbath. The Bible mentions the sixth day of the week as having a special purpose of, and although not designated, as holy time, God's word indicates that it is important as a day of preparation. And understanding and in using it as such can help us properly observe the holy day, the holy time that we are in when the sun goes down on Friday. Remember that a delightful Sabbath is something that we planned for, and a valuable tool that God has given us to make it happen is the day of preparation. For keeping the true spirit of the Sabbath commandment often requires some planning in advance. So just some reminders about it. The Sabbath is holy time. The Sabbath is holy time. Isaiah 58, 13 and 14 teaches us that the holiness of the Sabbath is a delight and a thing of great substance and importance that God has given us as a blessing. By the way, Herbert W. Armstrong elaborated on that on quite a bit in that booklet. It's a day of rest. We keep the Sabbath holy by resting and ceasing our labors, as Mr. Armstrong pointed out in his booklet, and as we point out in many other places, the sin of breaking the Sabbath is in profaning what God has made holy. It is sanctified and separate. Sabbath time is different from other time. I don't know about you, but it feels different to me. It feels different. God reveals to us what the Sabbath is, and then we know and we observe it and keep it, and we can rejoice in it. It's a cessation of our customary weekly activity in favor of spiritual recreation, which we're engaging in here today. It's a feast day that we celebrate, and it's a reminder of God's millennial rest and His holy mountain. We have a commanded assembly this day that we come together on, and we are celebrating His feast day. It's a day of peace, a day of peace. Shabbat shalom to all of you. You know, in my Sabbath prayer on dinner every Friday night, my wife can tell me if I've ever forgotten to do it, but I always try to remember for God to bring His Sabbath peace on my house during His holy time. And you know what? He does it. Now, I could point out, as I have a time or two before, I remember in years past that Sabbath peace used to wait on a certain 3-year-old to go to bed. But then it does come. Be sure to ask for God to bring His peace for you and your house, whether it's an apartment, whether it's your house or your dorm room, wherever you live, to bring that peace for you. It's a family day, both for our personal and our church families. This is a family gathering we have here now. Sabbath reminds us that we will all be together in God's family in His millennial rest. How good and how pleasant it is. Well, you know, isn't it? Sabbath is a picture of the millennial rule of Christ in the kingdom of God, and we remember that every week. Is your Sabbath all of these things? Well, if it's not, and I'll confess there have been times in the past where it was not really that way for us, and we decided we had to work on it, and what we started with was the day of preparation, and it really was a huge help. There's a tool that can help you, and I'll tell you about it now. Exodus 16, verses 5 through 30. Exodus chapter 16 and verses 5 through 30. When God brought Israel out of Egypt and gave the Sabbath to them, He also gave them instructions on how to prepare for it. They had lost the Sabbath coming out. The Sabbath had always existed, but while they were in Egypt, and while you were in Egypt and while I was in my spiritual Egypt, we didn't have the Sabbath. Well, they didn't. And before they ever got to Mount Sinai, this is in Exodus 16, not Exodus 20, God then showed them this way what it was. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. So the law existed at that time. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. Then he went on to explain that the next day would be the Sabbath. They would do no gathering and no fixing and everything. They would have everything ready to go, and he made it possible for them to do it that way. Is this mentioned in the New Testament? Well, of course it is. Mark 15:42. I'll just read it here. Now when the evening had come, because it was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. When is preparation day? the day before the Sabbath, the sixth day of the week. And by the way, folks, it begins Thursday night. It begins Thursday night. And men should help out in these things as well, particularly if the wife has a lot to do and works outside of the home. The Sabbath day pictures God's millennial Sabbath. So as we go about our weekly preparation for Sabbath, we should remember that we are in an era of preparation now. We're kind of in the sixth millennial day now, and I kind of like the analogy that, you know, it's like the millennial Friday, so to speak, and the sun is low on the horizon and about to set. You think of it that way? Next time you're looking out the window Friday evening and you see that orange ball sinking in the sky, just remember, that's about where we are now. And Preparation Day reminds us of this important fact. Remember that if you purposely plan and prepare to make the holiness of the Sabbath a delight, God will see your active love and desire to, and your desire to keep the Sabbath in the way that He wants to magnify it and make it a blessing, then He will bless and magnify the fruits of your effort. Watch and see. Watch and see. He does it. And men, take the leadership in your homes about this. I'll just pause just a moment. I still remember when our kids were very small, and we had at least an hour, maybe a little more, to drive all the way down to services, and boy, what a ruckus in the back of the car. It was a lot going on back there, and the kids were tired and going at it and so forth. And after Sabbath, Marcia came in and said, "Oh boy, Sabbath is the most stressful day of the week." She said that. And I said, "Well, that's my fault. We're going to do something about it." And we started planning and working ways to make it so that it wouldn't be that way. And we worked it out on Preparation Day. And you can do it the day before Preparation Day, too. Prepare for the Sabbath so that you don't have those problems, so that the stresses and the difficulties of the week don't pursue you into God's holy time. If you want a more detailed reading on this, look at the Living Church News, November-December of 2021. Make the most of Preparation Day, November-December 2021. Summarize point number two. There's an important spiritual significance of the day of preparation. Remember that Preparation Day begins Thursday night, and prepare so that the holiness of the Sabbath will be a delight. We need to prepare for the weekly Sabbath just as we need to prepare for God's millennial Sabbath. He is engaging in preparation now. I got a whole sermon about that we can do. The preparation that Christ is doing now. And the bride is making herself ready too. She is preparing. We're preparing for the millennial Sabbath to come. We're in that time now. Preparation Day is a time for you to not only do the practical things, but remember the spiritual things that we're engaged in. And it gives it extra special meaning, and then God blesses your efforts. Just watch and see. If we don't prepare, the world's cares will often come into God's sanctified, set apart, holy time and profane it. We are to keep it holy, and that takes some doing. If you prepare for the weekly Sabbath, remembering what it pictures can be motivating and help you to do it. Remember that the day of preparation pictures the preparation that Christ and His church are doing now and getting ready for His millennial Sabbath. Ideally, I know this is not going to happen, okay? I know it's not going to happen, but just for a contemplating, meditating thing, think about this sometime. Wouldn't it be wonderful if the weekly Sabbath that you prepare for could be as different from the week as God's millennial Sabbath will be from this age? That's a nice thought. That's a nice thought. Point number three. understanding these things, then what should we do on the Sabbath? Well, here's some samples of what we can do. First of all, we obey. We obey God and we cease our labors. That is basically how we keep it holy. If we engage in our weekly labor, we profane the Sabbath, which is sin. To continue our physical work or commercial activities profanes it, as we have said. So some things we can do. Here's some things we can do. And you can add to this list. Make your own list and see how long you can make it. See what you can do, okay? Church attendance. Forsake not assembling yourselves together. That's what you're doing. It's pretty fine, isn't it, coming here? We assemble ourselves together and we obey God when we do that. Family dinner is important to us. Hey, don't mess with Friday night at my house. We have the best dinner that we have throughout the week, and Marcia gets out all of her best things and puts it on the table and some flowers and stuff, and you go put a bottle of wine and have a glass of that, and we just have something special that particular night. We try to have family in to do that, and sometimes brethren too when we can. On the Sabbath, Mom and Dad are available to the kids. A lot of times they're out and gone and doing all kinds of things, but the Sabbath, we're there. And by the way, Grandmother and Grandfather are there too, aren't they? If you're over there. So it's a really good time for families to be together. Fellowship with the brethren. We do that on the Sabbath. What a delight that is. Study and prayer. We have time for extra study and some extra prayer as well. Spiritual sacrifices. We do engage in spiritual sacrifices on the Sabbath, like giving thanks to God is a spiritual sacrifice. Songs of praise, which you've been doing here now. Doing good works for others, which many of you did on the way, bringing people here or helping out here now. You can go down a whole list of what spiritual sacrifices that we can do on the Sabbath day. There are sacrifices that we make. As Christians, remember that obeying Christ's law does not profane the Sabbath. Keep all oxen away from all ditches, okay? If you got oxen, keep them away from the ditches. That's part of day of preparation, all right? Showing mercy does not profane God's Sabbath, even if it involves some exercise. Tell you a brief story. This was long ago, and just to give you an idea, this has been preached for a long, long time in the church. I think I'd been in the church maybe a couple of years, and if not long, and I was in Atlanta. It was in July, I remember, and I was headed on the Beltway to go around to church. It was a significant distance away from where I was, and it was hot. It can get hot in Atlanta, and on the freeway, it can really get hot. And I saw there was a lady, she had a flat tire, and she was all dressed up. She was dressed to the nines. She was going somewhere, she had a flat tire. I pulled off, hit the brakes and pulled off and went back. I didn't have my coat on. I had the coat, a shirt and tie, and went back and got things out and jacked up the car and fixed. By the time I got it done, I was soaking wet. I mean, it was hot out there. I was working on the Sabbath that day to help someone who, her ox was literally, four-wheeled ox was literally in the ditch there, though. I didn't have any problem with that. Got it done. She offered to pay me. Of course, I didn't take it. And then I zipped on to go to church that day. I still remember I looked around and waved goodbye to her. She could hardly believe that a white guy in a shirt and tie had stopped and changed her tire for her. I went on to church and got in around the second or third song that day, and I dried out in church. All right. I did not profane the Sabbath that day. I have no problem with what I did because I was helping someone out as an act of mercy. When the ox is in a ditch, you're not getting the ox out of the ditch, so to speak, to save the price of the ox, so the animal won't suffer in the ditch. That's the reason for that. So acts of mercy, keeping God's law, all of those things on the Sabbath does not profane it. Magnify the Sabbath. Do you love its holiness? You know, if you love college basketball, you watch a lot of college basketball, all right? Well, how about the Sabbath, the holiness of the Sabbath? If you love it, you want to magnify it. You want more of it as all possible. The spirit of the Sabbath is in its holiness. So delight in its holiness. Magnify it. That honors God. Something else to do on the Sabbath, which is what it pictures. It pictures God's millennial Sabbath. I don't know, this is something good to remember. It kind of follows something I talked about a few minutes ago. We're going to do some comparisons. The differences the weekly Sabbath has from the week with the differences God's millennial Sabbath will have from this age. Okay, let's just do a few. You can come up with a lot more, I'll bet. Weekly Sabbath, we have no weekly conflicts. I mean, we deal with our problems and all the problems we solve during the week in our work, but we don't have to do that here today. In the millennium, there will be peace and no war. Christ is going to physically force a stop to it. He said so. Millennial Sabbath is prepared for. You have everything done and ready, or you should. In the weekly Sabbath, rather, in the millennial Sabbath, there will be plenty. The reaper will overtake the planter. All of those things will go on. Those who obey God will have plenty in those times. The weekly Sabbath, well, TV's off, I hope. Bad music is off. Millennial Sabbath, no prince of the power of the air. Be careful about your media, especially on the Sabbath. Weekly Sabbath, spiritual recreation. We're in the church. We're engaging in spiritual recreation now. But there will be, in the millennium, healing for the world. Healing for the world. Eyes to see and ears to hear. We come to Sabbath churches, services, and church fellowship. And in the millennial Sabbath, God's family is together. How good and how pleasant that will be, won't it? Together in unity. Your commercial activities stop in the weekly Sabbath. Nobody owns your time today. They better not. Nobody owns your time today. You are free and at liberty on God's holy time. The world in the millennial Sabbath will no longer be slaves to Satan in his profane age. And, of course, we have physical rest in the weekly Sabbath. We will have rest from this evil age. Do your own list. Add to that. What a wonderful exercise that is to engage in. The holiness of God's Sabbath is truly a delight, and we should think of it that way. The spirit of the Sabbath is in its holiness and sanctity. So pray to be aware of and to be able to delight in that holiness. How wonderful that would be. God gave us a big blessing in that way. Why is God's Sabbath holy? Well, you could probably come up with several reasons, but one big reason is because the holy mountain of God is holy. There will be nothing profane in the holy mountain of God. And Satan will be bound in the millennial Sabbath. The God family is holy. Is it any wonder that the holy Sabbath is a sign between God and his holy people, whether physical Israel or spiritual Israel, which is you, the Israel of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 15 and 16. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16. This is a repetition. Peter here is repeating a scripture in the Pentateuch. No one who is still profaned by their sins can be resurrected to immortality and enter the God family. Verse 15. Just because he who called you, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Verse 16. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's from the NIV. Be holy. For I am holy. God gives us things to keep holy. Here are just three things here. His name we keep holy. We do not profane God's name. We have a commandment about that. The Sabbath we keep holy. He's given us that to keep holy, ourselves to keep holy. God has given us that to keep holy. He puts His Spirit, His Holy Spirit within us, and then we keep ourselves holy by not profaning ourselves with sin, that we may be like our Father who is in heaven. It's funny about critics of Sabbath observance. Occasionally I'll look online and I'll see some of the things that are said, and they'll give this reason or that reason. It's mostly nonsense. But one thing I've noticed very consistent about it, you know what they don't mention? Almost ever. I don't think I've ever seen it. If you see it, you can show me an example. But I don't think I've ever seen them deal with the holiness of the Sabbath. You heard the arguments? It's always about something else. They never mention the actual commandment, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. They never mentioned that. Nowhere in the Scriptures does it say that the Sabbath has been desanctified. It's not there. It's not there. Our Catholic friends say that they transferred it from Saturday to Sunday. And they did it as the first, as a tradition of the elders in the second, third, and fourth centuries, and then a little later on papal authority. And then they say all of traditional Christianity, Nicene Christianity, follows them into that. But that is a commandment and a tradition of men, not of God. Summarize point number three. People sometimes deal with gnarly questions about what they can and can't do on the Sabbath. And as a minister and a pastor, I've been asked many, many questions about that. And they're assuming that it is basically a commandment of prohibitions. But asking, is this activity work? That's a good question to ask. I'm not saying don't ask that. By all means, do ask that question. But sometimes a better question to ask in addition to that is, does this activity profane God's holy time? When I rephrase the question that way, often they say, okay, got it. And it answers, they had just hadn't thought about it in quite the right way. It often makes a lot of seemingly difficult questions simple to answer. The spirit of the Sabbath commandments is in its sanctity, as I've said, and focusing on keeping it holy answers a lot of Sabbath activity questions. Do you love and magnify its holiness? Remembering what to do on the Sabbath helps us observe what not to do. It's a big help. And it also makes our enjoyment and our delight of the Sabbath greater as well. So to recap what I've said, the Sabbath commandment is prescriptive. That is, it's something that we're commanded to do. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy is the commandment. And we remember that it is stated that way, although a lot of people don't necessarily remember that. The commandment ends with, therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Its holiness is not an abstract, ethereal thing. Its holiness is substantive to God. God is a spirit, and spiritual things are substantive to Him, and they should be substantive to us as well. Making it holy was God's blessing for us, and it was truly made for man. We should be focused on that aspect and on its sanctity. Pervading the holiness of the Sabbath by bringing our customary work or commercial activity into it is sin, so then we have a blessed rest from all those things on the Sabbath day. You know, we're going to have a lot to do in God's kingdom. You're going to be busy for 1,000 years in His millennial Sabbath. I've mentioned just a few things that you can do to magnify this prescriptive commandment, and you can then think of more. Let's remember to do what we should on the Sabbath day to magnify its sanctity and holiness and to keep it holy.